Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bounding ball into the shift. Story spins, throws, he gets him. Spectacular performance, a complete game. Who says that anymore?
Yes.
Who does that anymore?
You gotta love this game. Oh, he has been awesome all night. And he gave up a home run to lead off the game. A solo shot, didn't let it affect him. He bounced back. Man, awesome performance. Hopefully that's not the last complete game we see of the year, but hey, you never know. That could be it in today's game.
Well, that's the scary part, Kevin Youkilis. That's right. That is the scary part. That could be it in today's game. That could be the last one you see all year long from the Red Sox. Nick Pivetta with a complete game at Fenway Park last night. That's where we're going to start on the Baseball Hour. And as I've told you before, or I should say, as you know, Matt McCarthy is typically with us on Fridays. Matt McCarthy is with us tonight. He has a something he committed to a long time ago.
Only yeah, I'm on vacation, Matt.
Yeah, well,
it's really just that simple.
Well, you're going away.
I'm going away.
I wasn't going to tell people exactly what your personal and, you know, decisions were. But nonetheless, the Matt McCarthy's going on vacation, so he had scheduled that a while ago, so he's in here tonight. But we're going to start with this game on Nick Pivetta. We're going to get some bigger picture stuff with Matt that we've been talking about all week. But I want to start with the complete game. Okay? Red Sox now, by the way, have won two series in a row. Woo! Yay! Let's throw them a freaking parade. They've won two in a row. But let's focus for the moment on the singular achievement that was Nick Pivetta's game last night against the Houston Astros, who are no slouches, as we know. Pivetta went 9 innings. He gave up 2 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts. I think he threw 112 pitches. I don't have that in front of me, but I believe the number was 112. And he allowed a home run to the leadoff man. Jose Altuve homered against him in the first inning. Of the next 28 batters in the game, Pivetta retired 27 of them. He gave up only one more hit the rest of the game. That was it. Everybody else went down. It was a masterful pitching performance. This year in the major leagues, and Matt, you already know the answer to this. I'm sure you heard us talking about it this afternoon. But I would ask the fan base. What I want to ask the fan base is this. Do you still appreciate a complete game? A performance like that, like, is that enough to make you want to watch a baseball game? The time of game last night was 2:38. It was not, you know, a particularly competitive game. The Red Sox scored 2 runs in the first. They opened it up. They ended up winning the game relatively easily because Pivetta was so dominant. But the point is that the show last night was the starting pitcher. The whole attraction was Nick Pivetta. Is that something you enjoy watching, Matt McCarthy?
100%. Maz, baseball is at its best when you have star pitchers in the game. I mean, go back to 20 years ago. Pedro starts were an event. Chris Sale starts became an event. you know, in the height of his powers, you know, particularly early on here in his Red Sox career. If there's a good starter on the mound, you want to lock in. You want to watch it. That means something as a baseball fan. That's why you look at the probables. When you're going to a game, you start looking ahead, or at least this is the way I've always done it, 4 or 5 days out, saying, who am I getting? You know, the Dodgers are in town. Is Kershaw going to pitch? Like, that's the whole experience. So, yes, having a pitcher go deep into a game, having a pitcher give you a complete game, that's a good experience as a fan, and it's been stripped away from us year after year after year to the point where it almost doesn't exist in baseball anymore. And that's really unfortunate for people who love the game, I think.
I mean, it's last night was such a rarity. I said this earlier. There have only been 4 complete games thrown in the big leagues this year. Okay, 4. We're almost 2 months into the season. 4 complete games. One of them was only 8 innings because the home team didn't have to bat in the bottom of the 9th. The guy who threw it was Patrick Corbin. He was down 5-2. He's with Colorado now, I think. Is that right? But in any case, the point being, he pitched the 8th. His team was losing. They went to bat in the top of the 9th. They didn't tie the game, so he never had to go out there for the bottom of the 9th. So my point is, I don't even really count that one because it's only an 8-inning complete game. 3 games then where the pitcher has gone 9 innings. 3. So, and I should know this off the top of my head. Forget it. Forgive me. There was a combined no-hitter in the National League this year. Wasn't it the Padres?
No, it was the Mets.
The Mets. The Mets pitched the combined no-hitter. The Padres did it last year, I think. The
Padres, no. Musgrove threw a no-hitter for the Padres last year.
Okay, so I'm getting my wires crossed. The Mets pitched a combined no-hitter. You're absolutely right about that. It was the Mets. Who started the game, Matt?
I don't know.
Who finished the game, Matt?
I'm assuming Diaz, but I don't know.
Okay, so again, no one remembers it because we don't know who did it. So it's not an achievement or an accomplishment that would cause us to have interest. I made this analogy during Felger and Maz today. It's like going in and buying the generic brand of the drug. So I took NyQuil, but it wasn't really NyQuil. It was the CVS version of NyQuil. So I took cough medicine. That's what they've done to baseball. That's what the nerds, the analysts, have done to baseball. They have stripped away the identity of the winning pitcher. So the team gets a win, but no pitcher does. So it's not about the singular performance. Don't you go to baseball to watch, at least in part, the singular great performance?
Yes. I went to Fenway a few weeks ago to watch Ohtani. It was one of the coolest experiences I've had in a long, long time as a baseball fan, Maz. Why? Because Shohei Ohtani was starting the game. That's why I went there. It was awesome. It was great. It reminded me of what it used to be like as a baseball fan because that guy went 7 innings. He was a horse, and it was awesome. Oh, I loved it.
And I would tell you, Matt, that in my opinion, okay, and I want to get to people's thoughts on this because I asked this question very seriously, and I'll ask it now just to get it out of the way so you can think about it. And 617-779-0985. I see you all lined up there already, but we do have a couple lines open, so call in. What would you rather see at a ball game? A complete game like the one Nick Pivetta threw last night. I didn't say no-hitter. I didn't say shutout. I said a complete game similar to the one that Nick Pivetta threw last night. Or a guy hit for the cycle, which I hate. Okay, I hate, as you know. But what would you rather see? I will pick the complete game every single time. And I'll explain to you in a minute why. But that performance last night, a guy's going through the game, he's cutting his way through the lineup. People celebrate the individual performance. That is why you would buy a ticket to a game to go see someone pitch. In this day and age now, Pedro wouldn't be allowed to do it the way he did it when he was at his peak. It wouldn't happen. So does the nerd way work? And Felger made this point during the show today, and I thought it was a good one because there are 85 shutouts in the big leagues this year. I think only 2 of them are complete game shutouts. Pivetta allowed a run last night. The other 2 are Reed Detmer with the Angels and Walker Buehler. That's it. So the other 83 shutouts were effectively staff shutouts. Now, I don't know how many of those guys went 7 or 8, but you get the idea. Just work with me. The point being that the analytics model of piecing it together, it works. But none of us remember it because it's so efficient, it's bad entertainment. It takes all the enjoyment out of it. It takes the star quality out of the game. And the stars are the starting pitchers. More often than not, the stars are the starters. Not every game, Maybe not most games. But it used to be that you would go to the ballpark to watch a guy throw 8 innings, strike out 11, dominate, and he'll do it again in 4 days. What would you rather watch?
Oh, of course I'd rather watch the complete game. I was thinking I'd say a cycle, but I wouldn't be able to say it with a straight face just to piss you off, Maz. You know, but to that point, too.
Any particular reason why?
Oh, because, again, I think the starters are the stars of the game. Starting pitching is the most important thing, or at least that's what I grew up with, and that's how I was raised as a baseball fan, that your pitcher is, you know, the pitcher is the most important, you know, maybe outside a quarterback, the most important position in sports. It's the center of the game. So to have a guy go out and dominate, it's special.
Yeah, now this is unfair of me to ask you because, again, first of all, I crafted the question. Mm-hmm. I've had time to think about it. And I know what the, during a commercial break, I was thinking about it, and I know what the draw is for me on a starter versus a cycle. But if I were to say to you, what if Xander Bogaerts hit for the cycle?
I mean, it would be a cool little thing, but it's not why I go to the ballpark.
Okay, here's why I would.
It's a quirky baseball thing. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. Here's why I would tell you I'd pick the starting pitcher. Because you can see it unfold inning to inning.
Great way to describe it.
He's on the mound every half inning. The guy comes to bat that hits for the cycle is only going to hit every, you know, second or third inning, depending on what the score of the game is. And half the time, nobody's even aware that it's going on. So he gets a double in his first at bat and then a single. Well, nobody's thinking cycle at that point. He's 2-for-2 with a single and a double. Maybe someone says, geez, he could hit for the cycle tonight, but nobody really takes it seriously. I'll eliminate a night like last night where Rafael Devers starts triple-double. Because then you say, oh, okay, now wait a minute.
Yep.
Now maybe we got something going on here. But the starter? No. He's out there every 10 minutes or so. Last night's game took 2:38. Every 10 minutes, he's out there mowing down the next three. And you feel it building. There is suspense. There is anticipation. There's a show going on. Hey, I'm seeing something pretty good tonight. You don't get that anymore. And you know what? The incredible part is, baseball, the geniuses that are in the front office, and I say that only half sarcastically, because they're really smart guys, but they've gotten so efficient at it, they've sucked the enjoyment out of the game.
Exactly.
So, like, now I don't get to see the kind of thing I saw last night, and it makes it a worse product. That is just, oh, it's so stunning. It's just, talk about a game committing suicide.
As a quick aside here, Maz, you know, baseball needs to find a way to incentivize the starting pitcher.
So I was just going to ask you this, Matt. How do you fix it?
I love the idea. What do they call it? The hook DH. I love the idea when you pull your starting pitcher, you lose the designated hitter. I think that would be. And now I love National League Baseball, so I don't like the universal DH. I'll just put it right out there. But if you pull your starting pitcher and you lose the DH, all of a sudden, that's punishment right there. So I think that just creates more suspense. I think that creates more tough decisions for managers. It gives you and I, Maz, you know, every day we can come in and say, well, they pulled the starter too late. They pulled the starter too early. I think that would be great. And then it places more emphasis, most importantly, on the starting pitcher. You need to punish teams when they pull their starter. There needs to be some type of diversion or some type of deterrent from pulling your starter in the fifth inning, because then you're just going to start playing matchups third time through.
I mean,
it's hurting the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's got to be a consequence for it. And let's not kid ourselves, too. There's an economic ramification from it, which is part of the reason the Tampa Bay Rays started doing it in the first place.
It's part of the reason why Garrett Whitlock is in the rotation right now.
Yeah, because they can't,
on a good contract.
Well, they can't afford to pay starting pitchers, the teams that do it. Right? The Red Sox can. Which brings us to another thing. Have they started changing the way they're using their starting pitchers? Matt McCarthy thinks so, and so do I. We'll talk about that next on the Baseball Hour. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There it is.
High fly ball way, way up there. And it is gone. Very high and just got into that front row. And Xander touches the ball for the fourth time this season.
Just quickly, that story's getting more and more lopsided. Xander Bogaerts with another home run. That one put the Red Sox up 2-1 in the first inning after the Astros had scored in the top half of the inning. They never gave the lead back. Ended up being the game-winning hit, if that's what you want to call it. But the story last night was Nick Pivetta. And again, the empowerment of starting pitchers in baseball. How does the game do that again? That's one of the things. But I asked all of you, what would you rather see? A guy go out and pitch a complete game like Pivetta did last night? Or someone hit for the cycle. Baseball's killed the starting pitcher. He's one of the biggest stars in the game. And Matt McCarthy asked me something during the break that we're going to introduce here too. But let's take a couple of calls first. Dan is in Waltham. Dan, go ahead, fire away.
Well, to answer your question, I'd rather see a complete game than a cycle. And I actually enjoy the cycle. But I just feel like the amount of different pitchers and players that you see in each game nowadays and how often they change makes wins feel more arbitrary as a fan or as a viewer. That's just how they feel. But I called because Pivetta's game last night, it was great to watch. It was so exciting. But at the end, they made the reference to the first complete game and that the Sox have thrown in 3 years.
Correct.
And you would have thought that he had thrown a no-hitter by how excited they were, which I appreciate. But it just speaks to how rare that type of performance is in today's game.
Exactly. I'm going to let you go, Dan. So people are marking this. Oh, my God, they throw the water cooler over him. Well, they do that after a walk-off win, too. Okay, so a guy hits a home run and win a game, they do the same thing. But that aside, I got no problem with it. We don't see complete games anymore. So stop being stuck with something that, you know, was commonplace 20 years ago. It doesn't happen. So fine, throw the bucket on him. I want to see it more often.
Yeah, celebrate excitement. Baseball needs more excitement.
Oh, my gosh. Like, so again, the older people of us who see it, it's not new. But the Red Sox haven't thrown a complete game in 3 years. You know how many Nick Pivetta has in his 111 career starts? Two. Last night was his first with the Red Sox. Bob's in Needham. Go, Bob.
Yeah, Matt, the fact that it's such an aberration is what's troubling.
Exactly.
I have a question for you, Matt. What would Schilling, Clemens, Bob, what would they have said if the analysts dictated that they were taken out after, you know, six innings, two times? Would they have said, okay, you know, I've only thrown 58 pitches through six innings. Get me out of here. I mean, that's the thing that's disturbing is that the analytics are taking over the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no. So, Bob, listen, the analytics took over the game a long time ago, and I'm less concerned about what the Schillings, Clemenses, and Gibsons would have said than I am with the state of the game right now. Again, here's my point. As a fan, wasn't that fun? Didn't you enjoy that?
I like fun.
And again, Matt, it's not, you know, it's not whether the Red Sox lose or win, because you said you went to see Ohtani and you felt the same way.
It was awesome. Oh, it was one of the coolest, frankly, one of the coolest experiences I've ever had as a baseball fan. And one of the reasons is it was so cool is because I hadn't felt that type of thing in a long time. Like, man, this starter's awesome. You look up in the fourth inning, I turn to my buddy, he's like, dude, he's thrown 45 pitches and 38 for strikes and he struck out like six or seven guys already. This is awesome. And you just got into it because, to your point, Maz, you can feel it building. You can feel it building. He didn't even pitch for the Red Sox, and I was fired up.
I was just going to say, even when it happens with a guy on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay, so ask me the question you asked me during the break.
What is the coolest baseball moment, you know, baseball game you've attended? It could be as a fan or it could be as a writer. You know, like, what's one of the first things that come to mind or first few games that come to mind?
Okay, and why did you ask the question?
Because I was assuming that it was related to a starting pitching performance.
Just about every one of them.
Yep.
Just about every one of them. You know what the best games I've ever seen was? Pedro's 17 strikeout game in New York is number one on my list.
Pretty good one.
You know what else is on my list? Roger Clemens' second 20 strikeout game in Detroit. I was there for that one, too. You want another one? Mike Mussina's near-perfect game at Fenway Park that Carl Everett brought up. I don't know if that's number three, but I'm giving you a list. I'll give you another one. Pedro and Steve Traxel. Who? Steve Traxel had a game at Fenway Park. Look it up. Had a game at Fenway Park where Traxel beat Pedro 1-0. Struck out 15, and Pedro struck out like 16 and lost. Okay, it was something like that. And back when strikeouts mattered, by the way. Want to know another one I saw?
Sure.
Clemens against Seattle in the playoffs as a Yankee. Brilliant 15 strikeout game where he knocked Alex Rodriguez on his ass early in the game. Randy Johnson and Mike Mussina in the playoffs in Baltimore. One struck out 16, one struck out 14, something like that. That's another one. They're all pitching. They're all pitching, and baseball doesn't get it because now the starter goes four innings. It's infuriating. Those are the best games. Those are the best games. Those are the ones to watch, and they don't let them do it anymore, and they wonder why nobody wants to watch the sport. Nate's in a car. Nate, go.
Yeah, Tony, I agree with that. You know, that's the thing. Like, you look 20 years ago, everybody in the stands had T-shirt jerseys of actual pitchers. Now, you know, you don't see that anymore because there's no draw for the pitchers. I used to love going to games and seeing Beckett and, you know, Clemens and Pedro. And, you know, that's something that the game needs back desperately. And the four inning stuff isn't going to work.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and again, I don't even worry about the licensing, the merchandise. I don't worry about any of that stuff. What I worry about is the product. There is nothing as compelling as watching a guy carve up a good lineup without just whipping it out of his ass and throwing 99 the whole time. You telling me people didn't show up at the ballpark to see Nolan Ryan?
Of course they did.
I mean, Absolutely. It's ridiculous.
Absolutely. I mean, Maz, I mean, I can't remember how many Pedro games I went to as a kid. Why? Because it was a Pedro game. We looked on the calendar. We'd go out to the Brookline Ave Bridge. My dad would scalp the tickets. We went and watched Pedro. Like, that was the whole experience as a fan. As I said, you're going to a game, you start looking, or at least you used to, 3-4 days in advance. All right. We're going to get Pedro today. We're going to get Beckett today. We got another Wakefield game. Great. You know, like that's how you felt as a fan. When was the last time you did that as a fan? Like, I'm going to see this guy.
And Matt,
so rare.
Yeah. And I'll even go so far as to say that, look, the Pedros of the world are few and far between.
Of course.
The Pedros, the Clemenses, the Koufaxes, those are the special guys. So baseball says, what about the rest of the time? Tim Wakefield's run in 1995 was
awesome.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
When he started out 14-1, that you don't think people were going to the ballpark to see Tim Wakefield pitch that year? Or the year Derek Lowe won the Cy Young Award and he got hot and got on a roll? You don't think that it was fun to watch even Rick Porcello pitch a couple of years ago when he got going?
Absolutely.
Those guys get on runs. It's a reason to turn the game on. This guy's going right now. I'm going to watch it. You don't get it anymore. Sean's in Hamilton. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Tony, to answer your question, what would I rather watch between a cycle and a pitching performance like that? I'll take the pitching performance any day of the week. That was so entertaining last night, and it's becoming fewer and fewer far between games like that. I mean, if I have to sit and get one more update from ESPN about a combined no-hitter, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
That was a breath of fresh air.
And, Sean, I'll tell you what. Here's the other part of the game last night that was really refreshing to me. Nick Pivetta's not throwing 96, 97. Mm-hmm. His velocity's down a little this year, but the ball's live. He located it well. He had good off-speed stuff. He only struck out 8 guys. It's not like he struck out 14, but he was mowing people down. They couldn't hit the ball against him effectively. Okay, again, it's not like there were a ton of hard-hit balls. It was a well-pitched game. It moved quickly. One guy dominated. It was fun to watch. I would ask baseball people, what the hell is wrong with that?
Nothing. It's the best version of the game. And you know what? I'm hopeful, Maz, that the pitch clock is going to help this a little bit, that you won't get as many pitchers, you know, who take forever in between pitches, throw it from their ass. They actually have to locate. They actually have to work quickly. If you've been to any minor league games, I went to a game in Worcester a few weeks ago. It was awesome. It was great. The 14-second pitch clock is amazing, and it's really going to help the big league product.
Oh, it works, man.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, it's great.
It absolutely works.
You'll get more
works.
Games like last night, at least in regards to time of play, but I also want to see starting pitchers going deeper into games. the pitch clock's going to fix pace of play, or it's going to really help with that, but we need to find a way to incentivize teams to keep their starters in games longer.
Absolutely. Let's squeeze in Tony from Stoneham here quickly, and then we'll tell you something else about the starting pitching. But Tony, you got to be quick. Go ahead.
Tony, you're 1,000% right. The pitching is what you go to the game for, not the hitting. And the thing is, there's a fraction of an inch between a home run and a fly out to the outfield. They don't tell you that, these nerds and everything. And that's why they said that you can't let a guy pitch, three times through the order. That's all BS. But that game last night, and you know something? If that game was 3 hours and 20 minutes, you would have enjoyed it just as much.
Yeah, so I enjoy it better at 2:38. I'm not going to lie to you, Tony. But and again, that's why it goes hand in hand. It's moving along. It's well done. You can appreciate that. That's a good performance. That's something worth paying for. That's something worth giving your time to. That is a good product. So it's not just all about the balls in play, too. That's my only point. But Matt McCarthy made this observation. It's something I said a couple of days ago, and it struck him, too. And we had no communication about it. And that is, and this, I guess, relates to something Kevin Youkilis said at the end of that game. Again, Youkilis said, oh, geez, well, let's hope that's not the only complete game we saw all year. Matt will tell you why it might not be. Okay, Matt will tell you why last night might not be the only complete game you see from the Red Sox this year. We'll explain when we come back after we get you caught up on headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now Rafael, high fly ball, deep to left. Bradley watches it go off the green. Kike was not fooled. He is in to score. A double for Rafael. He has the triple and the double out of the way in that bid for the cycle for the second straight game.
Yeah, he thought this ball was gone off the bat, too, and he crushed this ball. The wind just kind of held it up.
You want to know another reason you should go to the ballpark? Raffy Devers, Bogarts, J.D. Martinez. Do you realize the Red Sox have three of the top five hitters in the American League in batting average?
And it's hard to believe it, given their offensive woes this year, but I actually do believe it because there's the only three guys on the team who have hit.
Devers is second in the league in batting. Bogarts is fourth. Martinez is fifth. Martinez is .325. The other two are higher. Think of that. So again, let's just play a stupid game and say, let's take the modern metrics assessment. Let's say the data showed that Rafael Devers actually hits a lot lower in the late innings because in his fourth at bat, he's only hitting .210. Well, let's pull him out of the game after he hits the third time. Let's not let him hit the fourth time. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. And again, I get it. Well, I get what the data is on the pitcher, but do you want to see Rafael Devers hit? Because I do. As it pertains to the pitching, the 9-inning game by Nick Pivetta, what did you notice, man? And this relates to something beyond Pivetta.
With Pivetta and the way that he pitched?
No. With regard to how deep he was allowed to go into the game and Red Sox starters in general.
The way Alex Cora has managed his starting staff really in the last, I don't know, let's call it week, 10 days, last two times through the rotation. That's probably a better way to put it. He's letting these guys go longer, Maz. He's letting these guys go deeper into games. I think a lot of people, maybe in the Red Sox front office last night, wouldn't have sent Nick Pivetta out for that ninth inning. wouldn't have extended him to 112 pitches. Alex Cora did. You know why? Because he understands that his starting pitchers have really been pretty good this year. So he's going to ride these guys. He's going to ride them a little bit more. The guy I've noticed it most with has been Hill. I mean, Hill had three games earlier on in the year. One was in Tampa, one was in Detroit. I want to say the other one was in Baltimore, where he pitched pretty well and they pulled him in the fourth or fifth inning. They pulled him at, 60 pitches. The Ohtani game was one of them.
It was.
Where they pulled him.
Very good.
And it got burned. They got absolutely burned. So Alex Cora is going a little old school here, which I like. I respect. That's the way a manager should look at things and saying, you know what? I keep making this mistake. I keep pulling my starting pitcher. I'm going to ride these guys a little bit more, even though that's against modern, conventional wisdom in baseball nowadays. I'm going to let Rich Hill go six innings. I'm going to let him face the lineup a third time through. Why? Because he's better than what I have in the bullpen. So I've liked seeing that from Cora. I wish he had come around on this a few weeks earlier because I think it did cost them. The Angels game is a perfect example against Ohtani. You go to Houck, even though Hill was pitching his best game of the
year.
He was absolutely dealing that day. So I wish Cora had figured this out a little bit, but I'm glad he's figured it out now.
So that was the game. Here's the good news, Matt, because I noticed a similar change. That game may have triggered it. Okay, that game may have triggered it. Rich Hill, the game you're talking about in Baltimore, pitched four perfect innings. He allowed an infield single to start the fifth,
and they pulled him.
Yep. The next game out against Ohtani, that was the day game over at Fenway. He went five innings, one hit, one walk, six strikeouts, five scoreless.
He was really good that day. I mean, I was there. I mean, he had thrown
only like 72 pitches or something. Might have been less.
Oh, he kept the Angels off balance. It was just a starter's performance, a veteran performance.
They pulled him. So, starting with, call it, Nathan Eovaldi on May 11th, it feels to me like the Red Sox decided our rotation is better than our bullpen, and we're going to start giving more innings to the starters and less to the relievers, or fewer to the relievers. Starting with that Eovaldi game, starters have gone 6 1/3, 7, 6, then 2, but that was Austin Davis. That was a bullpen game. Okay? Garrett Whitlock went 5. Eovaldi went 1 2/3, but he gave up 9 runs in the second inning.
And Whitlock, too, they're going to manage a little bit with kid gloves, so I don't even concede through 80 pitches, and that's probably what they're going to max him out at.
They wanted Whitlock to go deeper in that game. He wasn't terribly effective. So he was okay. I'm not telling you he was bad, but Whitlock threw more pitches than he should have in that game. It's one thing I'd keep an eye on with him as a starter. So after Evaldi's game, then Pivetta goes 9. So the point is, as you said, about a turn and a half through the rotation, maybe 2, all of a sudden, the starters are not just coming out automatically at the third time through the lineup. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think the Red Sox looked at it and said, we don't have enough guys that we trust in tight games. We're not scoring. So we're going to let our starters go a little deeper. And then I think we've all come across now what we see as a pecking order in the bullpen. Matt Strom is a trusted guy. Yeah. Schreiber is a trusted guy. And it's either going to be Robles or Houck, one of those two in some sort of capacity. Yeah. The rest of them are not going to get leverage innings, high leverage innings, as we call it, or as they like to call it, as they say, is what I meant to say.
And real quick, Maz, isn't one of the advantages that you have a good manager in Alex Cora who can maybe have a little bit of a feel for a game and can make the right decision? So instead of going with the, prescribed plan of, well, Rich Hill's going to give us 5 and then we're going to piggyback him without for 3 innings and that's how we're going to do it, instead of going by the book, to have a manager who can have a little bit of feel and say, yeah, you know what, actually, screw the plan. Rich Hill's pitching well today. I'm going to extend him another inning or two. That's an advantage that you have. You should take advantage. You should use that.
Exactly.
And they didn't for the first month of the year, and it burned them.
Okay, and you and I both know the answer to that, which is what baseball executives and analysts and nerds want to do is eliminate the human element. They don't want to add it. And they don't want it to increase. And what I would tell you is the human element is why I watch. The human element is why I watch. Nick Pivetta digging deep to get to 112 pitches and get through the game is why I watch. Seeing a guy go 4 for 4, 5 for 5 when they're constantly doing things to try to get him out is why I watch. That's the whole point. The whole point is to see someone do something. The whole idea of performance is to test the human limits and go beyond them, not to just go by what they are in a sheet and prevent someone from trying. which is what baseball has become. It's about, well, they show that there's a limit on his performance, so we're going to stop short of that because we don't want him to challenge that limit. Well, I do. As a viewer, I do. As a fan of sport, I do. So hopefully baseball gets its head out of its ass and figures it out.
Beautifully said. Even the head out of its ass comment.
Sean is in Taunton. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, you guys are kind of hitting on my point. I'm wondering, did Corrin let Pivetta go the distance last night, which I loved, by the way? Although I saw Strom get up about 6 or 7 times, I was kind of looking forward to him maybe being a closer role. But did he let Pivetta go? Because last year, Pivetta was pitching a no-no, and Cora went out there and was doing the Cora metrics and pulled him. And was it like a makeup call, or is he going with feel now? Because also, I disagree with you guys in a little bit. He hasn't really let anybody go the distance other than Eovaldi. Eovaldi's the only guy that can throw 90-plus, but he's pulled Walker.
Okay, so Sean, I'm going to stop you there because I don't think it was a makeup from last year. I think that Cora just kind of rode it last night. It was only a 5-1 game. It's not like they were up 11-1. I think he just kind of rode it. I think he said, this guy's locked in. I'm going to let him go. Now, let's also, and when he says, you know, it's the first time he's let someone go 9, let's walk before we can run, okay? Right now, 6 or 7 feels like 9. So the fact that he's letting guys go 6 or 7 should tell you plenty. That there is a change there. Because for the first, I'll tell you what, let me read you what the starts were in the early part of the year. And again, this is, you know, it's not entirely apples to apples all the time because, you know, there's a different amount of rest, what have you. But I won't even go back to the very beginning of the season. Let's go to April 20th. I'll do you one better. Let's start April 18th with Rich Hill, 4 2/3. Eovaldi, 4 2/3. Pivetta, 4. Houck, 5. Walker, 5. Whitlock, 4. Hill, 4. That's it.
Yep.
They all get pulled in the middle of the game.
And without looking at those individual game logs, Maz, I'm going to guess that the majority of those outings, they were pitching reasonably well because Red Sox pitchers have, on the whole, pitched quite well this year. Red Sox starting pitchers.
Tanner Houck, 5 innings, 2 runs. Michael Walker, 5 innings, 2 runs. Garrett Whitlock, 4, scoreless. Rich Hill, 4, scoreless, although Whitlock, in his case, had not been stretched out.
Sure.
Okay? But Hill, and this wasn't the Baltimore game, 4 scoreless. They pulled him. Like, so, Nick Pivetta, his next turn after that, 4 2/3, 2 runs, pulled.
All of those pitchers were in line for a quality start had they gotten through 6 innings.
It happens over and over and over again. I mean, it's just what they do. I think Cora's changing out of necessity because of the way his staff is performing. And I would say, good. That's a human decision.
Right.
That's actually managing based on the results and what's taking place on the field instead of just going by the printout and the data all the time.
Wish you had figured it out 2 weeks ago.
And by the way, I don't blame Cora on the data. The whole game is done this way now. My gripe, my bitching is really about the game. Rich is in a car. Rich, go.
Tony, big fan, love your show. Quick question and a comment. The comment is, I would agree with you in all the points you made on pitching. That's my thing. I'm a big Ohtani, Eovaldi, Clemens, Pedro fan.
Okay, but get to the point, Rich. What is it?
The opposite end of that spectrum for me would be Greg Maddux as a person to watch. The question I have is, based on the situation going on now with pitching and starters getting pulled early, if you had a vote, what would be your decision on the Cy Young in wins and losses?
Okay, so look, I think still wins are a critical part of the game. It is why you play. So I'm not telling you it's the most important stat for a pitcher, but if he loses 3-2 games because he's given up a run in the 7th inning, well, then I'm not voting for him for the Cy Young. I'm sorry. So innings are a part of it. I mean, innings, you know, we all talk about innings. I think we lose sight of the fact that it means you got outs. Okay, it means you got outs. So, for example, Tim Wakefield leads the Red Sox all time in innings pitch. It means he's recorded more outs than any pitcher in the history of the franchise. That is the objective of the game.
Yeah, seems important.
Okay, Roger Clemens was right there in innings. He got more outs than anybody. That's why innings matter.
Yeah.
Because you're getting outs. It's not just about workload and taking it from other people. It means you get outs.
Real quick, on the Cy Young, Maz, I would probably have a better chance to name more Cy Young Award winners in the 90s and early 2000s than I would in the last 5 years.
No, again, another point. And why is that?
Who won the Cy Young? Was it Robbie Ray who won the Cy Young last year? And was it Corbin Burns in the National League?
I couldn't even tell you who won it in the National League.
2 years ago, I couldn't tell you. I'm assuming it was DeGrom.
Right.
If he was healthy. But like,
and you know
I can
why?
Tell you that Pedro won in 97, 99, 2000. He got robbed in 2002 by Zito. Was it 2002 or 2003?
2002.
Like, I could tell you all that. I could tell you that Clemens won in X year. I could tell you that Maddux and Johnson and all that. I couldn't tell you the last 5 years.
Right, because Cy Young now is engineered.
Right.
It's all about exposure. We're going to limit a pitcher's exposure and make his numbers look good, and then the voters are just going to vote on the numbers. They aren't going to vote on actual performance. Again, they've eliminated the human element. They don't want the human element in the game. They just want to play within the boundaries that are set on paper for where people are supposed to perform. Nobody's allowed to cross those boundaries. Well, then what the hell am I watching for? That's the whole reason I watch, is for people to cross the boundaries, to push the boundaries. That's the whole reason to watch. We'll wrap it up with an interesting comment tonight by Alex Cora over at Fenway Park. We'll tell you what that is.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So I told you all I wanted to share something interesting that Alex Cora said. I'm going to put that off to tomorrow. Boy, is that talking about a dink move, right? Oh, yep. I'm going to, just regarding how long he would want to manage. Cora says, I'm not going to do this for 20 years. Okay, that's all. But I just wonder what precipitated it, but we'll get to that tomorrow. Last time I spoke with you, Matt, you had mentioned that you thought the Red Sox were done and is it over. Have you changed your mind?
No, and they've played better in the last week? No. But when I think they're done, what I mean, Maz, is I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, which should be our expectation. It should be our demand, particularly given that it's easier than ever before in baseball to make the playoffs with six teams. The only other easier year was 2020, the pandemic year, when it was eight and the Red Sox turned in their worst season in 80 years. So, no, I do think they're still done. There's still, too much of a hole to dig out of, and I don't think ultimately they're good enough. I think there are too many holes on this team. What I think they are, Maz, is I think they're a 500 team or maybe slightly over, and that's depending on whether or not they trade Bogarts, Eovaldi, and Martinez at the deadline. And they very well might, to get under the luxury tax, which then would not count this year as a luxury tax year. So do keep that in mind. But yeah, I think they're going to turn it around. I think they're going to play better baseball. They're not as bad as what we've seen for the first month. I think what you've seen in the last week is the steps for them to start turning it around and start
playing better baseball. I get it, though. You're saying that they're not going to overcome it.
No, they'll be better, but they won't overcome it.
Okay. And just as a quick note, right now they are 4.5 out of the second wild card.
How many teams ahead of them?
No, I take that back. They're 4.5 out of the second wild card. Yes.
Okay. And one, the third two, wild three, card four. Or the second wild card?
The second wild card. I'm sorry. Four teams in front of them, including the one they're playing tonight, which is Seattle. So, again, you might not be wrong. I can't predict the future. I have no idea what the hell's going to happen. Here's what I will say. If they're going to give us a season and a race and make it, I think the next couple of weeks are huge.
Massive.
So you've got Seattle at home. The Mariners are not a great team. Now, the Red Sox had some trouble with Seattle in the year. My recollection was the Mariners have a good bullpen. So that's going to be a challenge. But the way they're going right now, I think they're playing better. The Red Sox are. I'm looking at 3 out of 4 in that series. You know, when I say looking at it, you got to win 3 out of 4. I'm not predicting it. Then you go to the White Sox, who did not look great when they were here, even though they swept the series. 5 against Baltimore at Fenway Park on Memorial Day weekend. So 9 of your next 12 are against Baltimore and Seattle, and then you play 2 against Cincinnati, who is maybe the worst team in history.
They're horrible.
Okay, so you add it all up. 11 of your next 13 are against Seattle, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. You make some noise in there, you get back to 500, now you're in it. Now you're in it. But if you have a bad couple of weeks against these teams,
see ya.
Look out. Oh, and I didn't even add in Oakland. They then go out to Oakland, who sucks.
West Coast, Maz, always
so,
tough.
You so know it's that. 14 out of 16 against dog food over the next 2 weeks. You got to make some hay there. Thank you for joining us, Matt. Appreciate you changing your schedule.
As always, Maz.
Adam Jones coming up next with Christian Arcan alongside. They'll take you right up to Celtics pregame at 8 o'clock. I've already cut into their time. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.